is recording.
Very nice.
Okay. Good morning. Come on, see what time. We are holding in the midst of Perek Hay of the of the Nesivat Shuvah, and the Maral here is continuing this. What he has here in this chelik, in this part, is not specifically a visible continuation of what we learned about in the first part of Parakeh last time. If you remember last time, it was tremendous emphasis on the significance of vidui within tshuva. But here he begins where we're up to in the Hartman edition is page Pei Gimel in the first column, and what he's talking about here is the ability of tshuva to help fix anything. Tshuva can fix anything. He does not here speak of any exceptions to that which tshuva can fix. This is the Shita Samaral's. There is some question about it, as we're going to see, but the Shita Samaral is that tshuva can fix anything. Now, there's one thing which Chazal seemed to speak about being very difficult, which is that, you know, Avon Chil Hashem, you know, it can only be miskaper with Misa, with death. Interestingly, of course, Al Maral doesn't discuss it here. We had a little bit of a mention of it before, but there is a Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, you can fix that too, by being Mekadosh as Hashem. But here, what the Maral is speaking about on Pei Gimel is the things which the Gemara really speaks about. The Gemara speaks about a notion of not being able to fix certain things. The Gemara cites a famous pasuk. Something which is mu'uva, something which was distorted, you cannot fix. Something which is lacking cannot be again counted in. It's a pasuk in Koheles. And the Gemara speaks about it, and it brings some examples. For example, the Gemara says, Zeshabal erva v'hilud mimeno mamzer. For example, if a person had relations with a woman forbidden to him, and the child that's born is a mamzer, is illegitimate. So, can you fix that? Says the Gemara, if it's talking about gain of a geizel, stealing, yochel hulach zireu l'sakein, you can fix it. You can fix it. You give it back. You give back the money. You can fix that. But this is really something that you can't fix. And then the Gemara brings another opinion, the opinion of Rav Shimon Yochai, that mu'uvas implies something which didn't start off bad, something which became bad. So therefore, he says, you know, it doesn't seem right to refer to a mamzer that way. A mamzer is bad from the get. The problem is there from conception, from the beginning. So rather, he says, it refers to a Talmud Chacham, Shapirish min ha-Taira. Talmud Chacham, who left Taira, that's mu'uvas le'yuchal iskain, v'cheshen le'yuchal imanis. Now, from that Gemara, if you read that Gemara, simply, you would say that means that because you've created here a monster, you've created something that you can't take away, it can't go away. By Geneva, you can fix it. But if you create something that can't go away, so on that, you're really stuck. And it would seem, Lailenu, that the person would even be stuck that they can't do tshuva. V'chein pirush Rashi. And so Rashi says, right, in that Gemara that we're quoting over here, this Gemara in Chagiga, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, I quote, "Hamoled mamzer shehedi psul la'olam, ein avoinai nimchak b'tshuva." His sin cannot be erased by tshuva. Now, the actual quote of Rashi is, "Shehedi psulim b'Yisrael." That's what the way the Maral quotes what I just read, but as Rabbi Hartman brings in his footnotes, the actual quote of Rashi is similar. "Shehedi psulim b'Yisrael v'yehezi karein." There's always a trace. "Lefikach ein avinaisav nimchakim b'tshuva." Therefore, the sin is not erased with tshuva. Now, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean don't bother doing tshuva? right? Because you can't fix it. Or it means that tshuva can't wipe away something where there is still a reality to it. Right? If a person hurts somebody's feelings or breaks somebody's window, so then if they do the restitution and they get mechila, we can say that we've erased the result of the avera. However, when there's a mamzer, one hasn't erased the result of the avera. It's still there. Now there's a discussion. There was a Melech Yisrael. His name was Menashe. Menashe ben Chizkiyo. Menashe ben Chizkiyo was a Rasha like his father was a tzaddik. And he brought terrible things into the Jewish people, Avodah Zarah and more. He was so bad that Chizkiyo had a premonition, Beruach HaKadosh, about that the child he would have was going to be something like Menashe, didn't want to marry and have a child. Right? He nearly was killed because he didn't do that. He had to be told that it's his job to have the child, and Hashem will do what Hashem will do. So Menashe was pretty terrible, and it was his activities that brought to the Churban Bayis Rishon. That's what we see. There's an interesting thing, though, which is that in Divrei Hayamim, it tells the story that when Menashe was on in his years, he was faced with he had suffering and so on and so forth. He suffered Yisurin, and he woke up, and he realized the evil of his ways, and he did a dramatic tshuva. Amazing. What's especially amazing, though, is that if you look in Sefer Melachim, the book of Nevuah, where the story is read, it doesn't say anything about that. Menashe dies, the evil person that we knew him during his lifetime, during his career. The ambiguity leads even to a discussion in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin whether Menashe is amongst those that don't have a chelek l'olam haba, right? Amongst the Arba Melachim, the Gimel Hadiyotes, you know, that don't have a portion in olam haba. What's going on? He did tshuva. I mean, is there anybody going to amend Divrei Hayamim and say, no, what happened was, you know, Menashe's supporters put that in for, you know, stuck that in there? Everybody knows that Menashe did tshuva. So why doesn't it say that story in Sefer Melachim? What is it? So what people say is that the Menashe could have done tshuva, but he created a monster. He created a monster. What could he do about it? Was he able to put the cat back into the bag? Right? It was too late. He could do tshuva personally. And the tshuva means something. Of course it means something. And maybe as a result he could have a chelek l'olam haba. But on the other hand, look at all the damage which he did. Look at all the damage which he did. Right? If a person goes on a damage spree or something like that, that he cannot begin to possibly pay back, right? And then he does tshuva, but the damage is done. He always has that. So Rashi says, "Ein avoinai nimchak b'tshuva." The avera can't be erased with tshuva. That's the problem. Now, Tosfos understood this Rashi, and that he says that you can't do tshuva. V'lo nehira she'ein lecha davar she'emet b'fnei tshuva. He says, what do you mean? There's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. If he did tshuva, why shouldn't it help? So rather, Tosfos says that the idea is shebei shasai le'olam, right? That the embarrassment is there, right? Remember that the Gemara speaks about a person even who does tshuva and his tshuva is accepted no matter what. His chatam could have been olam ha'mokim, right? But there's a feeling that the person has of not necessarily being proud of everything which is there in their past. So, but some things, you know, a person could turn around and who knows? Like, what is it? But when there is this chronic reminder of the chet, so then it's so much more difficult. Then it's so much more difficult. That's what the Gemara speaks about, this idea of me'uvas le'yuchal liskoin. I'll never forget. I mean, it overwhelms me every time I think about it. But I once went to the mikveh, like on Erev Shabbos or something. I went to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos. There was a young man in the mikveh. Young man in the mikveh. And, you know, men's mikveh close quarters. See the guy, he had a huge, huge tattoo on his back. A huge tattoo on his back. It was a young man who was a FFB. right? And he had, you know, gone off the derech, and during that time he had a tattoo, and then he did tshuva, and then he came back, and I don't know, it overwhelms me, like, you don't have to go to the mikveh. You don't have to go to the mikveh. You know, it's not like a woman for Taras HaMishpacha. You don't have to go to the mikveh. And the gvura, the strength. I mean, he was not. I mean, you could tell it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for him. But he wanted to do it. You know, so he did tshuva. I mean, his mamish did beautiful tshuva. I mean, he was superhuman tshuva, beyond. But there's an aspect, an element of muvasla yuchaliskein, like Taisvah says. It's still that. The be careful, you know, on occasions when you know someone in that parsha has sort of like brought up with me this question of tattoo, no tattoo, you know. So you know, look, one thing you have to know is this is for keeps, right? You know, this youthful decision, or you want to do it, you want to say, is it really that bad? You're going to want to alumnus or something like that. Will I really not be able to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, or you know, whatever it is, all those things. But realize that this decision you're going to carry with you. You're going to carry with you. That's the way Taisus understands the issue of Uvas Layuchaliskain. But the Maral doesn't even like that. The Maral doesn't even like that shot of Taisus, because he says, what happens if the child dies? What happens if the child dies? So then the embarrassment is gone. And parenthetically, by the way, you know that it's written, it's a halacha. What do you say at a bris? At a bris you say, Elekeinu ve'elekei aviseinu, right? For naming the child. Kayem es hayelad hazeh l'aviv l'imayis. Sustain this child for his parents. Keep him alive for his parents. In other words, that his father's parents should be able to keep him, to raise him. Shulchan Aruch, the din is that a mamzer, who has is a regular Jew, he has a regular bris, but you don't say Kayim Zel is a lovely limai. You don't say that. Don't say that. So the says the Maral, I mean, he doesn't quote that halacha, but he says, is it built in? Lo yuchal iskain. Is that the case? So Maral's approach is that tshuva always helps.
Who is it helping? It's helping the individual, but the case of, let's say, the king of the Talmud Chacham that went up the derech, he's machdis a rabbin through that behavior, and that you can't fix.
Right. So the one way to see it is in terms of, you can do tshuva, but you can't fix the damage. So what's the ramification of that? Is there such a thing as trying to fix an avera without doing tshuva? Well, there may be. There may be. A person who steals something and gives the money back, does that mean that he did tshuva?
No.
He was mekayim v'eishev es hagzeil asher gozal. He did the mitzvah v'eishev es hagzeil asher gozal. That in itself, to a certain degree, we know lav anita klase fixes the avera, but he doesn't necessarily regret it. Maybe he just regrets getting caught, right? You know, in the famous formulation. So he had to give it back. But he didn't necessarily do the magnificent process, transformative process called tshuva. Someone else says, what we're talking about here is without tshuva. Now, let me just bring you one last example, or at least for now, which is one of the famous ones, is the Chafetz Chaim story, right? About Lashon Hara, right? Person said Lashon Hara about somebody, and he came to Chafetz Chaim, said, I want to do tshuva. He says, fine, bring me a pillow. Right? Brings him a pillow, right? A little surprise. He says, okay, now cut open the pillow. Cuts open the pillow, even more surprised, says, reach in, take out the feathers. Says, reaches in, takes out the feathers. He says, now throw them into the wind. And he threw them into the wind. He says, okay, now go and collect all the feathers. He says, when you can collect all the feathers, then you could do tshuva for spreading negative things about somebody. What was the Chafetz Chaim saying? Mu'uvas lo yuchal iskain. Mu'uvas lo yuchal iskain. You can't fix it. So that means that there's no tshuva? Says Maral, there is tshuva. Why? So remember how you have to look at tshuva. And Maral here, excuse me, Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvarei. remember here, the you know, we have these different approaches, three approaches of the Maral to Tshuva, but here he focuses primarily on the first one. What was the first thing of Tshuva? Was Kilachal Am Bishkaga. Was that when a person sins, they're making decisions, their body's making decisions for them, their mind isn't making decisions for them. Ata Chaynin La'odam Das leads to Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sayrosecha. That was Yesod number one of the Maral, an extremely powerful and important Yesod. Mind over matter. So then how does Tshuva work? Tshuva says, I wasn't thinking. It wasn't me. Right? Zedainais Nasulai Kishkagais. Even things which you did on purpose become like they were done by mistake. If they're done by mistake, there's a certain degree of distance between the person and the action. So says the Maral, if a person does tshuva, so it's true. You can't fix. There's still a mamzer there from the action. There could be, I mean, again, our examples, there could be still the feathers in the wind. There still could be the chil Hashem of, or whatever, the problems which Menashe created. But Menashe didn't create them. Or Menashe is not connected to creating them. The new Menashe, the Menashe who's now thinking and awake, says, that? I could have nothing to do with that. So, in a sense, of course you haven't fixed the action, but you've fixed your relationship to the action. You fixed your relationship to the action. So Gemara is not speaking about, are these things for which you cannot do tshuva? Of course there are things which you can do tshuva for them. The Gemara is not talking about tshuva. The Gemara is talking about the other level, which is, can the Avera be fixed? And there are certain things which you do, which you have to be aware, they can be fixed, and other things that can't be fixed. And something which is nitan litikune, you know, which is given to be fixed, it's a more mild thing to begin with, and certainly once you fix it, it's going to be better. We can speak about both. But tshuva, in terms of it being you, says the Maral, that's always something that you're able to do. You're always able to do something and to undo that connection between the person and the action, and to dissociate, because it really is not you.
So then, in a certain sense, so then what's the big deal of the Gemara? Because the action's already done, and if the person can just disassociate themselves from it completely, then well, I'm sorry, that couldn't be fixed, but too bad, huh? I don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, where's the power in the Gemara? Where is there anything in the Gemara?
It's still a huge thing for the person to consider that the action for itself is not nitan l'tikun. And I'll read to you a little bit about what the Maral says. Again, you can dissociate from it, but we are still at the same time going to be aware of the impact of our actions. The fact that it's you can do tshuva and be somehow erased from it, but at the same time, there's still this aspect.
Maybe it continues when you're cheshbon. I mean, you know, they say like whenever we learn Rashi, it's just Rashi. So maybe this thing that you did, you know, will continue to have some more avaras go in your cheshbon, even though you.
Yeah, but so that's the muvas l'yuchaliskain aspect of it, that you've created a damage which continues, but at the same time he's also able to escape to some degree personally being continuously stained by those actions. Right? Maral says you kill somebody, can't do tshuva? What do you mean? You're not going to be able to bring the person back to life. He says, there's still tshuva. There's still tshuva. Understanding that the idea of the person being wrapped in the Avera, when we dissociate from it, when we say that was just something which happened around us, it was something which was done by our hands, you know, but it wasn't, we weren't thinking about it. There is a significant element of tshuva in that. That's how tshuva works. That tshuva is separation of the person from things which we view as surface that we can wipe away. Now again, there's a separate sugya of being able to fix it aside from tshuva. Right? Yes, a person still has to quote unquote live with the fact that that only happened because of me. Right? Can be even when it's not a deliberate act. Like, why did this happen through me? Why did this happen through me? You know, Rachmana Litzlan, right? A person's going to pick somebody up from the airport, right? Chaim is going to pick up Reuven from the airport, right? And on the way to the airport, Chaim has a terrible accident. Rachmana Litzlan. How's Reuven going to feel? Does Reuven have to do tshuva for asking Chaim to pick him up from the airport, or from even acceding to his offer to pick him up from the airport? He doesn't. But he's going to forever say to himself, it happened because he was coming to pick me up from the airport. Right? And I don't think that that's a crazy thought, that the person thinks that, or has some issue with that. That's the notion of Gagman's Chosai Dei Zakei V'chai Vai Dei Chayev. So he has no tshuva to do on that particular act, but it's something that he has to live with. And Chazal would say, you know, think about it. You don't have to do tshuva for having him come to the airport, but why would such a thing happen with you involved? So there's something that has to be done. So, you know, in a sense, that's Taisha's term of bishus. You know, there's a shame which lives with the person for generations, but according to Maral, it's not just a shame, and it's not taking away the possibility of tshuva. And he says, the way the Maral says it here, hachet gadol mashayo hachet b'davar shein le'takana v'ayri shalei osa tshuva v'oz hachet hazenech shav gadol ma'id b'mnei shein le'takana. Says he didn't do tshuva, and the chet is considered a more grievous chet because it can't be fixed, and it's not compared to ganav and gazlan. Apagav shalei osu tshuva l'hachzir mikol mokein kivin she'efshar v'chazor ein le'yemem rebu muvas le'yuchal l'iskein. A thief, even if they didn't give it back, but the chet by nature is less because it is reversible. Something which is reversible is not as serious, right? A mum passels for avoda, you know, as a blemish. If it's a mum aiver, well, there's a discussion, right? Since it can go away, maybe it's not such an issue to begin with. Etc. And so on and so forth. That's what he says on one hand. On the other hand, he says sometimes you can just fix it with the mitzvah itself, the notion of lavanita klease. So this is the idea, the way he separates it, and it's important, you know, in terms of tshuva being the transformation of the person and the level of association of action with person, right? That's true of any chet, that the person would seem to be able to turn away from that. However, in terms of tshuva as actually trying to fix the thing which is created outside of yourself, that's a separate issue and a significant issue, but it's not the same thing as the sugya of tshuva. That's an important distinction which the Maral says. And he goes on and he says that, well, when we speak about me'uvas layuchal liskayim v'chisarin layuchal limonais, he says that there's another aspect to considering it, and that is not simply the measure of whether there's something that you can physically do to fix it, but there are things which have a more permanent type of effect than others. And we're not speaking here about killing somebody versus breaking their window. Killing somebody, you can't bring them back to life. Breaking their window, you can have the window repaired. That was the first layer that the Gemara looked at. But the second layer, says the Maral, is that there are things which change in the physical world, and there are things which change on a metaphysical level in the world, on a spiritual level. I would venture to say that more people learned a Gemara about Ma'uvas Layucha Liskain in Brachas than learned this Gemara which the Maral is working from in Chagiga. There's another Gemara in Brachas, In fact, many people learn this Gemara as almost a form of Haskalas Gemara, or Haskalas, you know, some part of Gemara, which is the beginning of the fourth perek of Brachas, Tfilas HaShachar. Fourth perek of Brachas is a short and very sweet perek. Nice, pleasant perek. It speaks about the times for davening, and this Gemara right away discusses the idea of what happens if a person missed Shachris. What do they do? Right, so we have a notion of tashlumin, of you can make up. If you mix shachris by mistake, oines, you can make it up by davening two minchas. And the Gemara in the discussion discusses, well, one second, the Gemara, there's a drasha which says, mu'uvachs lo yuchal iskain, the cheson lo yuchal imanes, is a person who missed kriyashma or who missed tefillah. Ah, I thought you said you could make it up. Right? So that's the Gemara's discussion there. So the Maral says, and he associates that with how the Gemara here continues with a Talmud Chacham HaPeirish Min HaTorah. He says, you know, in the physical world, nothing is lasting. Nothing is lasting in the physical world. The nature of the physical world is, right, today, here today, and gone tomorrow. Bin Laila Ayah, Bin Laila Avad. Maybe there's a gap between today and tomorrow of 120 years, maybe more. But, look, we're coming up to Sukkot and Kehelas, quote number two from Kehelas from this morning. But everybody knows, in the physical world is not built to last. Ruchnius is eternal. Ruchnius is eternity. Says the Maharal, when they come and they say these different things, they say, oh, look, it's true, yeah, you killed this person, so that's something that will be forever. He wasn't going to be forever. And he wasn't going to be forever. But when you speak about Pirish Min HaTorah, that the person turns away from Torah. When you speak about Bitel Kriyashma, Shachris Va'arvis, these are the things that you take with you, that would be with you forever. And therefore, if those are lost, then that's something which is forever gone. That's something which is forever gone. And part of the Maral's point is that he says that even when the person gets back on track, but they still missed those moments or days or weeks of eternity. Right? There's no makeup for that. Right? Tshuva is something which can disassociate a person from a negative thing. Right? It doesn't necessarily always fill in the gap. We've had a notion before of, well, the averus become like zechuyos. So maybe in that concept which we talked about, which is that, and as Maral explained it, because the fellow is like so hungry for the spirituality that he does tshuva to come back, so that makes his connection so much stronger, so that maybe you'd say, okay, in that sense it's made up. In that sense, it's compensated for, or it's not just that disassociated from the aveira of Bittul Torah, but also actually some positive power was filled in. It says the Maral, the point of these people is that things which happen in the material world, you would not appropriately say that because they happen in the material world, again, given when the person on some level does tshuva, that they're going to be with him forever. Because nothing in the material world is forever. But gaps in our spiritual world, those are the kinds of things which are forever. And that's the Gemara's change of direction in this realm. That's the second level of the Maral in discussing this idea of Mu'uvas Layuchal Iskain V'Chesven Layuchal Imanes. In the flow of that discussion, I just want to tell you the Maral's Taich. His interpretation, it's a beautiful, beautiful taich, and he's saying it not to do with tshuva per se, but it is obviously very related to tshuva, and related to definition or component three of tshuva, which we learned in the Maral. The Gemara we quoted before said that Rav Shimon didn't like the interpretation that muvas liyuchal iskaim is referring to giving birth to a mamzer or whatever it is. So rather, he said, because the mu'uvas implies something which was good and then was turned bad. So he says, refers to Talmud Chachma Parish Ben Atayra. The Gemara there continues and says that Rav Yehuda ben Lakish said as follows: Kol Talmud Chacham HaPerish Min HaTaira, a Talmud Chacham who leaves Taira, Olav HaKosav Eimer, regarding him, the Pasuk says, Ketzipar Naided Mikan, Kenish Naided Mimkaimai. Like a bird that wanders from its nest, so is the man who wanders from his place. Ve'aymer, and the Pasuk says, Mamotu Avaisechem Vi'ovel Kirachakum Imeni. What did your forefathers find wrong with me that they distanced themselves from me? Adkan. So the Maral harps on this mashal that the Gemara brings based on the pasuk of the tzipor naided mikan, the bird that wanders away from its nest. And says Maral, beautiful thing. He says, Kamaya tzipor yesh lekan asher hu makam lay. A bird has a nest, which is its base, its place. V'yefshar shiya b'laykan, can't manage without it. Because the bird is flying around all the time, and it needs a place to rest. Right? It flies in the air. Right? But remember the discussion in the Gemara, in Chulin, I think in the first parak, right, where it says, birds, you know, they're sort of like created from the heavens, right? The Mayim. But they're also creatures of the arets, right? Sometimes they speak because they fly, but they've got to land. They can't fly forever. They have to have a place to rest. Right here, the pasuk seems to refer to a kan, a specific place to come to rest. Now, I'm not an expert in birds in terms of exactly the role that nests play. They certainly play a big role in a bird, in a mother bird, right, being able to raise its young. But they're serving something as a base. So he says, "Kein ha'olam agashmi." It's the same for a human being, a physical person. Shubal shinui v'cholol. He's somebody who can change and be affected. Vein oimid ha'olam alinin echad. A person doesn't stand in one way. V'atayra hi mokim kfiyusay u'minuchasay. The one constant that can be there in a person's life. Of course, the person can have a home to come to. But even that is subject to shinui. Our constant, as we fly around and encounter all kinds of different things and changes, is the Torah. That's the idea. Kitzipar, like the tzipar, naided mikanai, like the bird that wanders away from its nest. It's the place to which the person comes home. You know, there's a beautiful tiur. It just so happens, I mentioned it a few weeks ago on Shabbos, when we were talking about one aspect of it. In the beginning, I think, of the third section of the Sefer HaKuzari, the king asks the rabbi who's teaching him about Yiddishkeit, says, "Describe to me the chassid. Describe to me a pious person by your description." It's a magnificent, magnificent section. Beautiful, beautiful description. And a few weeks ago, actually, when we were saying goodbye to Rabbi Yehuda Friedman, I isolated a couple of the elements of it. One was how the chassid, when he speaks, the words which comes out of his mouth are the fruit of machshavaisav, of having thought through. It doesn't just, words don't spill out of his mouth, whether they're words of tefillah, whether they're words to another person, he thinks, and his words come out measured. Right? He compares there. One of the things he does is, first thing is he says, "Oh, you want to know a chassid? Let me tell you, he has his entire country under perfect, perfect management and control. All the different areas, everybody's taken care of, and so on." He says, "I asked you about a pious person. I didn't ask you about a king." And so he explained that the chassid is the person who has a harmoniously run kingdom of himself. As Shlomo HaMelech said, the mashal is that the melech is the person who's Meishel B'Yitzray. Right? You have the psukim like that in Mishlei. But he goes on, so that's what we talked about then, and his appreciation, and his ability to see the good in things. But he goes on and he says, he describes what davening is like for a chassid, and what Shabbos is like for a chassid, and what Yontiv is like for a chassid, and what Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is like for the chassid. And what's his description? His description is that a chassid has to live like life like everybody else. He has to go out, he has to work, he has to make a living, he has to interact in a world which is often very, very complex and very, very disturbing. And as he does that, he's like, where am I? Where am I? What's going on? There's a sense of disconnectedness to some degree from this world around him. And then he looks at his watch and he says, ah, mincha. Mincha. And he slides out, you know, he's shayas shachas, and he stands it before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, ah, whew, home at last, reality, reality. And then he goes back, right? Yeah. And then Mariv. And without those moments going home, it's lost. It's not like, you know, unfortunately, in our world of tefillah, what happens is that, exactly, unfortunately, is that, you know, we're so stuck in work and everything else, so we say, oh my gosh, mincha. Grab 2 minutes, daven mincha, right? Somewhere in the middle, your thing buzzes, right? You take a quick look, you know what's going on, and then I can get back to work. You know, back to work. Okay, finish with mincha, back to work. His is, finish with work, back to mincha. And he says, but you know, sometimes you can get like a little thing to keep you going, you know, like Shacharis Mincha Maariv, but each week he needs a day of reality, and that's Shabbos. And then periodically he needs a mayed of reality, and then he needs the special reality of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, of that coming home to reality. He says that's the description of the Talmud Chacham HaPerish Min HaTaira. It's like the bird that's wandering away from the nest. The bird needs the nest. Without the nest, what's going to happen? It's going to be flapping its wings forever. It's going to be isolated all over the place. It's a little perch on a tree branch someplace and won't really have anything. He says that's the Talmud Chacham HaPerish Min HaTaira. That is the Maral's third description of tshuva, if you think about it. Remember, his third description of tshuva was that it's going back to what we're supposed to be, to the original thing, to the way we were created. I remember that table which is set with a spot for us, right? And we're just no serving, you know, the Le'olein Rachman al-Itzlan. Not that we say, okay, he's out of the room. He should see that it's his place, and his place isn't being filled or fulfilled. That's the idea. And, you know, look, mincha, like we said, for us we experience it the opposite. Shabbos, sometimes we can, it could feel more like what the Kuzri says, and sometimes it's like, you know, so exhausted from the week, you know, just like, you know, a pit stop, you know, not one which takes 4 seconds, right? But a pit stop, you know, and you get yourself together. But lemaisa, after all is said and done, as wonderful or as dismal as our preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur might be, but that's a big thing of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's why I think it's a very important thing for us to recognize. People sometimes get depressed about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. When Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is coming, people get depressed. Why? Because they can't even remember what their New Year's resolution was last year. Did anything change? So just think about the following. Okay, so nothing changed. You remember 4 years ago you made a New Year's resolution that you would do X, and you're still doing it. But in the last 3 years, none of them stuck, and you only remember 2 of them. But tell me something. Does that mean that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur last year didn't accomplish anything? Imagine if the last time you had Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was 4 years ago. That's a horrifying thought, even for someone who can't measure any specific growth. But we know the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a recharge. It brings us back to our nest, to a sense of connection. That if we didn't have that once a year, where would we be? The big Bali Avoda, the Ramchal, in his time, right, in the Alter von Kelem, did it with his Talmidim. They had something called Ho'asiri Kodesh. Right, it's a play on the pasuk by Meiser Behema, where you count all your animals as they go out of the corral, and the tenth one is made holy. But there the Asiri Kodesh, the Avodah of Asiri Kodesh, was once every 10 days. That the person would have a day that was dedicated to Avoda, to the service of Hashem, in a way beyond the rest of the days. Why? Or whatever Kabbalistic ideas there are behind that, everybody understands the practical ideas behind that, which is, it's a day to move away from the bedlam, from the things which distract us, and to come back to the roost. Right? When people might have a date night, right? Whether it's once a week or once a month or whatever it is with their spouse, what they're doing is they're trying to have that. And the value of it is great in terms of restoration, even if you can't point to any resolution specific which came from that. That's the reconnection. That's returning to the nest. That's the idea. That's that mashal in the Gemara. That's the way Maral explains. Again, he's talking about Torah, but it's really as well the notion, the way he explains it, of tshuva. Okay. There's questions, comments before we focus on the last piece of the Maral in this perek, in Perakei. Any questions or comments?
This is something that can't be fixed. It just means that if you missed it, it's like if you wait some time, you can never get that back.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't be true.
That's correct.
How do you explain the Dumb and Sukkim on Hevel after Cain killed him? Because it was not just that he killed Hevel, he killed
Tamay Vedam Zaraisaf. All of the generations.
Is that a Ruchnius or a Gashmius or both?
It's hard to see it as Mamish Gashmius, you know, but the consequences of his action cry out. Now, that goes into tshuva. If a person kills somebody, right, so the what helps a person to dissociate from an action is realizing how terrible it is. Right? Rabbeinu Yaina writes in the Shari Tshuva that the measure of a tshuva is kefi yegainai beraya enaisav. I think that's the language. The level of anguish you have over what you did is the level of tshuva. Right? If you say, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm sorry. Right? You know, that's the kind of thing where when your child says that, you say you didn't apologize yet. Why? Because you don't realize what you did. And if you don't realize what you did, then how have you really disassociated with what you did? Damei v'dam zaraisav is a huge measure of yogin, of what the person did. Do you realize the ramification? Do you know what could have happened? What could have come from this?
Yet their version fixed it in some way. Not that Cain fixed it, he couldn't. So their version somehow.
How did he fix it? Okay, he brought. So that's the way the Rabbanu Shlalom fixes things. And that's the idea we have to understand. Are we really able to have one person's life able to be destroyed by another person's Bechira? Right? Are we so subject to other people? So, you know, one of the ways to deal with it is to understand that, okay, maybe one level in the immediate, but this is a long-term account. The short-term account was affected, but the long-term account, there's going to be compensation for it. but it's certainly something to recognize. Okay. So let's now do the last Maamar Chazal, which the Maharal brings in this perek. Again, just following collection of Chazalim on Tshuva. Amar Rav Yitzchak, very important one. Arba, Dvorim, Mekarim, Zardinai, Shaladam. There are four things that tear up a decree that Hashem has made about a person. Ve'ilain, and these are they. Tzedakah, Tzedakah, Tzedakah is crying out. Shinui Hashem, changing of the name, V'shinui Maisa, and changing of deeds. Okay, now, what do these four things reflect? Anybody? Right? What do we say on the climax when we speak about the Gzar Din and Nisan HaTaykef? Utshuva, Shinui Maisa. Utfila, Tzedakah. Utzdaka, Tzedakah. Right? In many machzerim, on top of Tshuva, Tfila, Tzedakah, it says Tzayim, associated with Tshuva, Kail, Tfila, Mamain, money. Whatever the reasons for drawing that parallel. Those are the, and here we have a fourth, which is Shinui Hashem. In the list, it's Shinui Hashem, Shinui Maisa, whatever, that's the way it's brought. So the more it brings. Staka, because it says Staka Fatsumi Mavis. Saka, that it says Vaitzako Hashem, Batalam, and Sukhasem Yashiyem. Shinui Hashem, because Hashem said Sarai, don't call her name Sarai, her name is Sarah, and Uveirachti, so, and I'm going to give her a child. It means till now she couldn't have a child, I changed her name, it changes her din. And Shinui Maisa, we learn from Ninveh. Hashem saw that they changed their ways, Shavu Midarkei Mara, and therefore they did it. So the Maral, right, whenever you have a list, the Maral says, right? Let me explain how this divides up into the various components of what a person is. And so the Maral does, using one of the typical and regular structures which he does, which is divides the person into four parts. Three and one. There's the guf, there's the body of the person. There's the nefesh, which is the life force of the person. And there's the mamain, there's the property of the person. All of these things are the orbit of the person. He has his body, he has his life, and he has his property. So he says, look, and he says, and don't think property is disconnected. He brings all kinds of rights from Chazal, Tzadikim Chavim Alev Emonim Yaisim Yigufam. Right? Property can be very connected to the person. And he says, of course, this is V'chol Levavcha, U'V'chol Nafshecha, U'V'chol Mi'oidecha. Right? That's going to be a similar kind of a division between these things, that Nefesh is Nefesh, Mi'oidecha is money, and Levavcha, he understands as the guf, as the body of the person. So he says, so what's the idea? So he says, if a person changes any one of these three basic components, if a person does something to transform any one of these basic components of the person, so then that's a change, and he's not the same person as he was before. So he says, Maisim, Shinui Maisa, change of deeds, that's, you do Maisim with your body. Right? You do mitzvahs, Averis, Le'olein, Rachman, Litzlan. So if a person changes their Maisim, that's called Shinui and Leguf, of the things that he was engaged in as a physical person. The Nefesh is expressed in Koel, in the things which the person talks about. And when a person uses the kol to cry out to Hashem, which is a sign of that kind of existential transformation on that level of the nefesh, so then that's a transformation. And when a person takes their money and uses it differently, uses it for tzedakah, that's also a significant transformation. So now, hone in on one part. Any one part, tshuva changes, tefillah changes, tzedakah changes. The different realms of experience, things that you do, things which are more to your essence, right? The tefillah is going to go more to your essence. Tshuva is change of action. Remember, tshuva here is described, the term used in the Gemara, right? Tshuva ta'asas, or even tshuva without an essence. But tshuva here is described as the shinui maiseh, doing things differently. doing things differently. That's what the growth, right? Tzaka, davening, is on the level of the nefesh, and tzaka is on the level of the moment. And the Maral uses these divisions in many different places. But then there's Shinui Hashem, and Shinui Hashem is, says the Maral, the Shem is the whole package. The whole package of the person. The essence of the person himself. That's what that is. Shina Hashem is where a person wants to transform their whole being. It says a house has beams, it has stones, it has mortar. You can pull out the beams and replace them. You can pull out the stones and replace them. You can pull out the mortar and replace them. You can change this part, that part, and it will be transformative. On top of that, there's something called the house. The house. And Shinui Hashem is the way the person is trying to address that whole thing, which is themselves, instead of just looking at the specific pieces. Now, there's a beautiful maral. Gorgeous maral. On the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches. Hu Hayomer, Hillel used to say, Mar bebosar, mar berima. Person has a lot of meat, will have a lot of worms. Meaning, after 120, Mar benechasim, have a lot of property, Mar bedogah, he's going to have a lot of worry. Mar benoshim, mar bekshafim, a lot of wives, a lot of sorcery. Mar beshvachais, mar bezima, a lot of maids, a lot of immorality. Mar beavodim, mar begozel, a lot of servants, a lot of stealing. On the other hand, Mar betaira, mar bechayim. Mar be yeshiva, mar be chachma, mar be etza, mar be tvuna, mar be tztaka, mar be shalom. Kana shem toiv, kana la atzmai, kana le divrei Torah, kana le chayelam haba. So we have bad ones and good ones. Five bad ones, and maybe five good ones, or there were four good ones, and then kana shem toiv, kana la atzmai. So, ein kan mokoim laharech, not to discuss here at length, but the Maral draws a parallel between this and the Aseres HaDibres. And he says, Aseres HaDibres, you have five lois aseis, five prohibitions about all these levels of indulgence and so on and so forth, which could draw a person away, that correspond to the five lois aseis in the Mishnah. And it has also, on the other side, it has the other five commandments. Now there's Laisa says there too, right? Or Laisa says there too, but it's of a different level. And he says, but it's an interesting thing. So they're four and one, because the first is Anochi Hashem really a commandment? Is it really a commandment? So says the Maral, there are pieces, always. This you should do, this you shouldn't do, this you should do, this you shouldn't do. But then there's it. He says, and that's what this Mishnah speaks about. There's marba this, there's marba that. You can do a lot of bad things, heaven forbid, and get drawn in that direction. You could get a lot of good things and get drawn in the right direction. But then there's something called kana shame toiv. Shame is who are you? Your essence. Your composite essence. What is the sum total of everything which is this person? He says that's the first of the Ten Commandments. That's the last of the ten things on this list. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is, for a minute, let's not talk about what I told you, what I didn't tell you. Just Anochi Hashem. Says the Maral, we can go about tshuva by fixing our ma'asim, we'll go about tshuva by calling out to Hashem from tefila, we go about tshuva by tzedaka, and we can go about tshuva by being mishana shemai, by a redefinition of who we are. Sometimes, you know, the way is in the details, and sometimes the way is more general, global, transformative change. How you do that, it's hard to tell exactly. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, you know, or shinui maisa. But there's something, you know, as something which is wholesale, which is the whole being of the person, you know, altogether. So that's what the Maharal says here, and it's a davar chashuv.
That's not what's in the davening, and maybe that's why, because the davening emphasizes three things, and not the shinui Hashem. And what does it end? What's the punchline? Ma'avir mizra'ag zera. It's sort of like, let's keep them around so they can get to the next step. But it doesn't transform all the way.
It could be that that you're right. I want you to think about what comes right after you say tshuva tefillah tzedakah ma'aser ha'gzeira. What are the next words?
Need another cup of coffee.
Ki kishimcha.
No, oh yeah, yeah.
Ki kishimcha kein tihilasecha. As is your name, so
as
is your praise. Ki kishimcha.
That fits. It's
right?
The stage. It's the fit.
From
fits.
The stages to the Shem.
Kishimcha.
And then we look and we say, we look at a person. Right, right. Well, so we say Hashem is kashalicha, is neachlirtzais. Right, he wants us to do tshuva and so on. And we say, what's a person? A person is yisaidem yafar b'sayfei lafar and so on and so forth. Va'atahu melech kelchay v'kayim. Now it's like sort of you describe a person. He's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Comes apart, breaks up. Right, that idea of, you know, a person is mortal. Because a person is made up of separate pieces. When we speak about the Rabbanu Shalom, Rabbanu Shalom is Echad, there are no separate pieces in the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? So in a certain sense, I'm not going to try to say that, Mamish, this is what we're talking about, this thing. But I'm tempted to. You know, it's an appropriate sort of continuation in light of what we've seen here.
Why doesn't the Maharal talk about the neshama? He talks about physicality in different parts. Maybe the nefesh is a shtickle ruchni, but it's still on a lower level of gashmi, and the neshama is the animating force, and you have the chibur of the neshama, and now that comes down with the guf, and it's too silent on that.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm troubled by this to some degree, and I think that the answer to it lies in the difference between what is called in this Gemara Shinui Maisa and what we call Tshuva. To say that Tshuva is the Guf is a very narrow aspect of the Tshuva, the things that you do differently. To speak about the magnificent Tshuva of the Neshama going back to the place it was taken from the Kisei HaKavod, that's why we use the term tshuva more broadly. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's Shinui Hashem.
Yeah.
It's not exactly Shinui Hashem. A person may not change their name to do that, but it's that kind of thing. That's the essence of the person, which is what the neshama is. The neshama isn't chelki. The neshama isn't necessarily divided up into different things. It's more the essence. So I think that it's there where you're going to find that kind of a thing. Here is dealing with more pieces.
Because the Gemara derives from Sora, which is Shinui Hashem, which is almost like cheating, you would say. It's like you're not really making any kind of a strive or an effort or anything. Just update my name. I don't want to be this name. I'll be that.
Right, right. It's not a sub. Shinui Hashem is not a substitute when you're dealing with tshuva. Over there, the Gemara is bringing a raya with everything else that it would help to be kareya the gzar din. Help to be kareya the gzar din of the person. Will it work necessarily so simply? Look, we do it. Learning all the time. A chayla, when they change the name, it's because of this Gemara. There's no tshuva specifically. Right? It's one person we know by a different name. So maybe in that way there will be able to be a change. That somehow externally there will be a change to the essence. The real work of the tshuva is for the person to change, and in a sense, when the person, the Baal Tshuva, as the Rambam writes, Midarkei HaTshuva, is that the person's Mishana Shemai, it's that he's showing a desire for that transformation, and the name is a signal for that.
That's the shame in the island. What kind of name do you have in the world? If they're going to eulogize you, what are they going to say? You made $10 billion? I mean, usually they talk about what kind of person you were. So that's your shame. That's it.
Yeah.
Neshama, isn't it not surprising that the neshama is not mentioned here in connection with tshuva, and that the neshama itself, being a title of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is perfect. The neshama isn't going to sin. It's the kairos, it's the gashmistic aspects of who we are. So whether
right.
it's a light force, which is part of this world, or whether it's our book, and as Michael just said, you know, the shame, of course, is the expression of who we are in our essence, but as expressed in this world, just as Hashem's name is expressed in this world. So neshama, it would seem to me, if those other aspects were eliminated, the neshama is not going to sin, and the neshama is perfection.
But it's held accountable.
You don't need to change it.
The neshama is held accountable. Yeah.
The neshama is piggybacking on the guf, right? Like the Gemara's Moshel, Antoninus and Rebbe, the the blind man on the lame man, whatever it is, they go together, and they bear consequences together. And while the neshama is perfect, but as the neshama is bound up with the guf, the neshama, it bleeds. One bleeds into the other. The neshama can bleed into the guf, and the guf can bleed into the neshama. And when the person wants to be mashana, you know, their essence, you know, the mashana of the outside and the mashana of the mix. The neshama, the mix. So in a sense, yeah, you can't really affect the neshama, but in another sense, the way the neshama is lived as part of the person, it sure does get changed. I think it sure does get changed.
How does the neshama? Has the shame tov olam again? What's the connotation there of shame tov?
Similar. You know, you have keser tere, keser kuna, keser malchus, are three different areas of work, right? And Keser Shem Tov is the essence. The Maral has a similar perish over there, where Shem Tov, it's and it look by Shem by Keser Tira, there was a crown on the Orain, by Keser Kuhuna there was a crown on the Mizbeach Hazav, by Keser Malchus there was a crown on the Shulchan. But Keser Shem Tov has no physical representation because it's no component. It's the totality. It's the whole thing.
Thinking of destructive or shame, Shosha Tevis, Shinamaisa.
That's what
that's
he would have said
say.
It. Okay. Okay. Aksiv Chsimateva. Hashem, see you next week. We'll probably start a little late because it's same Gedalia, the diving will be longer. So we'll probably start closer to 5 to 9 or something like that.